The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licentius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, and the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths of the Lord. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. When I was doing my internship several years back in at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in San Francisco, I've mentioned many times, one day I forgot to bring my lunch. So there was this sandwich shop a couple of blocks from the church and so that I went to occasionally. So I decided I took my lunch break and went to go get a sandwich. And after stepping out of the shop on my way back to the church, I was in the process of crossing the street when six police motorcycles roared up, came up with sirens, and blocked the intersection. And then I saw several police cars and this parade of black SUVs coming up the street. And people started gathering on the sidewalk as this parade of vehicles roared by. In the midst of it, there were two black limousines with American flags flying from the hood. This was President Obama's presidential motorcade. I forgot that I remembered as he was passing through that he was in San Francisco for several events at the time. "Look, here he is," someone yelled as we saw this familiar head in one of the windows for about half a second. The motorcade roared by, the police motorcycles moved on, and the street returned to normal, just as it had been about 4 minutes ago. "Wow, that was awesome," a young boy next to me exclaimed. It was, of course, a sight to see. And if any of you have been to Washington, D.C., or have seen a presidential motorcade whiz by you, you cannot help but feel this sense of power and of importance. There, of course, must be something really vital that they're going to, it seems. Why else would they be driving so fast? This is, I think, I'll call it motorcade aura. We have this motorcade aura around our public officials that is, I think, quite powerful when you find yourself close to a legislator or a president. I was talking recently with Pastor Stacy Seabrass, who's a friend of our congregation, who is beginning a new job at the Missoula Interfaith Collaborative as a community organizer. And MIC, Missoula Interfaith Collaborative, does a lot of work with the Montana State Legislature when it is in session. And Stacy was mentioning to me how she's going to have to get over her nervousness with talking with state legislators. There is this divide that happens with a lot of us, she told me, that we need to get over, which makes us think, you know, what importance does little old me bring in comparison to this very important lawmaker who decides policy? Well, this divide, of course, between rulers and regular folks was even more stark in ancient Rome, so much so that the emperor was even seen as a god and worshipped. Believe that. They were the ones that the historians talked about and wrote about. In fact, Luke, our gospel writer, and as I mentioned yesterday or last week, we are spending the year in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is our focus this year. And Luke seems very familiar with ancient writings and documents of the Roman Empire. In fact, his writing style, more than any other of the four Gospels, emulates these writings. And one example of this is his introduction, a very Luke introduction to our gospel text today, and it goes like this. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the reign of Iturea and Trachonitis, Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. Wow. This is official. The presidential motorcade is passing by. Watch out. Doesn't this introduction remind you of another place where Luke does this type of writing? He does it again, actually, in the chapter earlier, which is probably more well known, which it so happens is our Christmas Eve scripture reading. And it goes like this. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Sound familiar? Like I mentioned in the children's sermon, this way of starting an official document of the empire was very typical because it marked a specific place and time. It made it, ironically, more official because these powerful characters were official. Everyone knew who they were, and documenting their power reigns showed great importance. But this gospel isn't an official Roman document, is it? So why does Luke choose to start his story this way? I think it has to do with a bigger reason than just pinpointing time or wanting to sound more official. It has to do with what God is up to. Notice in this introduction, it goes from the top down, right? So first is Emperor Tiberius. But this story is not about Emperor Tiberius. Next is Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, and Herod, the ruler of Galilee. But this story is not about Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, or Herod, the ruler of Galilee. Then we get down to the next level. Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene. This story isn't about either of them, either. Okay, how about the priests then, right? Annas and Caiaphas. Nope, not even them. Instead, we get this. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. What? Wait, what? Who the bleep is John? Oh, yeah. This is the guy who wears camel skin and eats bugs. Okay, Luke, so you mean to say God wasn't working in the all-important Emperor Tiberius or Governor Pontius Pilate or King Herod or even the local big rig rulers. You mean to tell me that God chose this crazy camel belt wearing bug eating guy out in the desert? He's a nobody. This is when the readers of Luke can insert the famous three-letter text response that maybe many of us, at least millennials, can attest to, the WTF response, right? W meaning what, T meaning the, F, I'll let you fill in with your imagination. This is the beginning of Luke's powerful assertion in God choosing the nobodies versus the somebodies. And the list of characters in this official document is ridiculous, borderline comical. A camel pelt wearing bug-eating preacher, a washed out too old to be pregnant woman, a peasant unmarried farm girl, a quiet unassuming carpenter who needs to get registered for the census, and finally, a carpenter turned rabbi who was born in a cattle drinking trough amid manure. It is through Luke's telling of this powerful story that we get God's radical choosing of the least of these. What is God up to? Maybe it's time to turn our attention away from the showy presidential motorcade and instead turn it to the soup kitchen. Dr. Caroline Lewis, associate professor at Luther Seminary, writes, "The perceived importance in the names of these officials ends up being no match for the name Mary will give her son. Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysias, Annas, and Caiaphas are powers in name only. Names that fade away at the name Mary will name her firstborn son. In contrast to these names that seek legacy and fame in the intimacy by which Mary learns of the name of her son, the names of the world pursue renown and recognition. Mary knows the name of her son because God regards those the world would overlook." So that is what it comes down to in the end. If God bypasses these bigwig important guys and instead chooses these nobodies in the middle of the sticks, within rural Palestine, then do you think it might be possible that God chooses me too? We are a culture that is very comfortable putting trust and responsibility in the motorcade and those who are big and important. But the Gospel of Luke, at the very beginning, at the very center of this story, in his rendition of the Jesus story, says, "Stop making this excuse. That's not how God is working. God works through the nobodies." Maybe like how you and I think of ourselves, to actually make a difference in this world. This is unusual. This is uncomfortable. This is radical. This gets towards the end of the story, as we all know, the Savior of the world killed. "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Maybe even little old nobody me. God chooses the nobodies. May we, followers of Christ who are gathered here today, feel empowered by that radical call to help God work in and through the unexpected, the mysterious, the nobody. Amen.